Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. This morning I'd like to, in addition to the readings we've read, also from 2 Corinthians, the end of that letter, Paul shares what is known as the apostolic benediction with his congregation, the Trinitarian invocation. He says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is God's word. Please be seated. It's a beautiful summer evening, and you're about to go outside to play with the kids or the grandkids, and you think you hear a car pull up into the driveway, and you go and you kind of peek through the blinds. Uh-oh, everybody, grab the kids, turn out the lights, everybody stay low, shh, stay quiet. You kind of, peep through the peephole to see who's there. Sure enough, there they are. They look nice, they're dressed in dress shirts and ties, and they're smiling, and they're holding books. Shh, everybody, stay down. Hey. I'll wait them out. And finally, they're a little persistent, but they finally leave. And when the car is safely down the road, you give the all clear. Okay, everybody, all clear. Let's go on out and play. But just to be safe, let's go to the backyard. You know what visitors I'm talking about? Have you been there? Most of you have probably opened the door to them at least once. They looked nice enough. Maybe you even invited them in. But the next thing you know, these smartly dressed guests of yours are telling you that Jesus isn't God. That the only real name for God is Jehovah, and lucky for you, they are His witnesses, and they're here to set you straight, to tell you the truth. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. In addition to being the only Sunday, usually, of the church year in which we dust off the Athanasian Creed, like we will do in a few minutes, that long creed, this is also the Sunday for us to review the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. But it's not just a doctrine. This is our God, the God we love and worship, the God who made us and fashioned us, the God who redeemed us through His Son and by His sacrifice, the God who sanctified us and made us holy in the washing of our baptism and through faith in Christ. This is not just a doctrine. This is God. So why do we start with the Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on the door? Because they are one group among many groups, some even claiming to be Christians, and some pastors in Christian denominations who will try to tell you that the Bible does not teach the Holy Trinity as we confess the Trinity in the creeds. And not only that, they will catch unsuspecting, uncatechized Christians off guard with a pretty powerful opening punch. And they will say to you, the word Trinity isn't even in the Bible. You can't find it. And you're an unsuspecting, unprepared Christian. You'll say, well, I'm pretty sure it is. But after you've been challenged to find the word, you'll be embarrassed that it's not there. And you'll be cast into doubt about this foundational doctrine of our Christian faith. And you'll start to wonder, well, did the pastor lie to me about this? And if he lied about this, what else did he lie about? And at that point, your smartly dressed visitors are one giant step closer to getting you into their windowless kingdom hall for further indoctrination. Well, guess what? It's true. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. And no pastor ever told you that it was. And if you thought it was in the Bible, then that was something that you assumed or imagined. But the fact that the word Trinity is not in the Bible does not mean that the Bible doesn't teach the Trinity. And by the way, If a Jehovah's Witness ever pulls that dirty little trick on you and says the word Trinity is not in the Bible, you turn the tables on them. See if you can tuck this away for the next time they visit you. You tuck this away, okay? You remember the word theocracy. They are real big on the word theocracy, the rule of God. They've built a whole theology around that word. And you can say to them, I'll show you the word Trinity in the Bible when you can show me the word theocracy. Because theocracy ain't in the Bible. And watch their faces turn pale. They'll look down and they'll search their mental database. Now, what am I going to say to this? What did they teach me? They never said anything about this. And then they'll stammer and they'll stutter and they'll say something like, well, just because the word theocracy isn't in the Bible doesn't mean the Bible doesn't teach it. Bingo. And just because the word Trinity is not in the Bible doesn't mean the Bible doesn't teach it. The Holy Trinity is throughout the Scriptures. It's replete, starting right at page 1, which we'll talk about in just a bit. But because it is a hard doctrine to explain in a few simple words, and you know, who can explain the nature of Almighty God? The church in history came up with a simple way to describe this biblical doctrine in a couple of simple words. Holy Trinity. Tertullian was the first Latin writer to use this word some 200 years or so after the death and resurrection of Christ. The Trinity. One God is three persons. Three persons in the one Godhead. And I know if you try to do the math, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And the Jehovah's Witness visitors will challenge you on that point. And they will say, that doesn't make any sense. How can you believe something that doesn't make sense? And that's when you say to them, I know my God doesn't make sense to me. I believe my God is bigger than my brain. You believe in a God that's small enough to be understood by the human brain. But my God is bigger than that. I think I'll stay with the Holy Trinity. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 11? He said, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Yeah, I think I'll stick with the Trinity. I want a God who's bigger than my brain. It's all over in the Bible. God is a big God. He is anything but small. He is big in His very nature, and He is big in the things that He does. To begin with, in the Old Testament reading today, if you read it and take some time to read it, God created everything out of nothing. Now that is so big that science denies that it can possibly have happened. You can't create something out of nothing. Matter cannot be created, it cannot be destroyed. They believe matter is eternal. No, no, our God is that big. Just by speaking something out of nothing. And then God said, let us make man in our image. And if you listen very carefully to that, you notice God speaks in plurality. He does not say, let me make man in my image, but let us make man in our image, in our likeness. One God is speaking, yet within the Godhead there is plurality of persons. We and us and our. Who'd have thunk? God is so amazing that we can't even get our minds around it. And then in the epistle reading that we just read this morning from 2 Corinthians, Paul gives what we call the apostolic blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And here Paul calls upon each person of the Trinity to do his amazing and his big and his powerful things for the church. The Son to give us grace. Grace. Undeserved, amazing, unspeakable, unthinkable love in the suffering and the death and the resurrection by which our sins have been taken away from us, and we have been released from our guilt, and we have been purchased for God. And then the Father to lavish us with His love, that He who did not withhold from us His only Son, but gave Him up for us all, even to death on the cross, would also, on account of His Son, give us everything that we need for this body and life. And so He generously pours it out on us. And the Spirit to bring about sweet fellowship and communion, our communion with God and our fellowship with one another, as we share together in the preaching of the gospel, and we are called into the one church, and as we share in the life of our and the sacraments, all three persons of this amazing God of ours working together in perfect concert for the salvation of those Corinthians and for our salvation. And then in the gospel reading today, Jesus commissions His disciples to go make more disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so He gave His disciples the assurance that as they move forward in this often hostile world, that He's going to be with them. I'll be right there with you to the very end of the age. And I will be the power behind your feeble attempts to make more disciples. And sure enough, on Pentecost Day, this uneducated, inarticulate Galilean fisherman named Peter gets up in front of a crowd at Jerusalem. He preaches an impromptu sermon that results in the salvation of thousands of people and their baptism. How do you explain that? If not for the powerful working of our big God, the Holy Trinity. How big is our God? He is so big that even though He has revealed His nature to us, we can't understand it. But that's okay. I want a God who's bigger than my brain. He is so big that He made everything out of nothing just by the command of His voice. He's so big that His grace sets us free from our sins and brings us into fellowship with Almighty Holy God. So big that He can even use someone like me or like you to make more disciples if you'll just open your mouth and be His witness. This is the God we love and worship. He is a big, big God in His nature and in the things that He does. Him we confess this morning in the Athanasian Creed. We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.